Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. And boy, talk about a person that's doing that. Our guest today, Joe McQuillan, has been through something that I think most people just feel like it would kill them. He's had that thing like I know that I never want to experience, and that it's having lost a child. So Joe lost his son, Christopher, in 2016, and this loss brought him on this incredible spiritual journey of understanding what's on the other side, and that there is an ability to communicate with people that have left us on this in this world, and somehow has written this incredible book. It's so heartfelt. It's so, even though it's about loss and maybe the most difficult loss that we can ever face is people, the loss of a child, that he's allowed this experience to really open his heart and open his soul and bring him to this spiritual journey. His book holds such a message of incredible hope and love that I was crying a lot when I wrote it. So I think it's a fantastic conversation. I'm super happy to have you on the show today, Joe. So welcome.
Thanks, Lisa. I was crying a lot when I wrote it, so we're even.
Ah, I bet you were. So tell us a little bit about Christopher. What happened?
Well, in Christmas time, 2015, Christopher was home for Christmas from college, and a bunch of the local GAC pals all were getting together for the last weekend before they went back to school. So they went up to a lake house in Wisconsin, about an hour and a half away, and were kicking up their heels and shooting pool, and there was a dozen of them, and one of the boys' parents had a lake house. So you know, we were kind of happy with the situation because we knew they'd be in this bucolic setting and safe and not driving. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, four of the boys went outside, Kristen and three friends, and walked by a boathouse. And, the idea jumped at them to just jump in this canoe. So four guys got into a three-man canoe, a partially frozen lake, loose winter clothing, Timberland boots, kind of a perfect storm. Four of them paddled out. None of them made it back that night.
Wow. Joe, how did you handle that?
You know, you don't handle it. You know, it's left foot, right foot. I mean, I got the call that he was missing. Right around noon, and I jumped in my car and ran my Jeep and drove up north, and halfway up I got the call that it was no longer a search but a recovery, that all four boys had gone. And I think I went into a bit of a fog, but I had things to do. You know, I had to go up and take care of this. I thought I was going to be bringing my boy's body back, but identify him and wait for Wisconsin to release my boy, and then call his mom and let her know, and she'd let the kids know, and, you know, tell his godmother who's now with them and on the other side, and make the arrangements, you know. And that whole week was just that. It was, like a brownout. You know, I just left foot, right foot, trying to get things done, from funeral services to burial plots to receptions, you know. And the thing is, I couldn't quit. I have two other kids and a wife, and I had to, you know, take care of what had to be taken care of. And I think God carried me through those long days.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, I just think that's every parent's worst nightmare.
It's every parent's absolute worst nightmare.
Yeah. And how did that nightmare bring you on this spiritual journey? Because I know you weren't a particularly new agey guy that was into seeing psychics and stuff. Like, that wasn't really your thing. Although it's been my thing my entire life, because I'm one of those psychics that saw dead people since I can remember. It's like super real for me. But you weren't that person. How did you get to be?
Yeah, you were born into it, and I was like event driven, right? So yeah. Chris and I were real close, and we still are. And I mean, we just had this connection. You know, a term that's been used by a couple of mediums is twin flames, which is actually going to be a chapter in the second book. And so we were so close. I'm 33 years sober, by the way, so I was a wild kid. Mm-hmm. So I did find some spirituality in recovery, and I realized that there was a higher power that removed the compulsion. So I believed in God. I just never spent any time thinking about what's next. It just didn't cross my mind. So, I'll tell you, every night the first week, I would get on my knees at night, and as I do every night, and thank God for keeping me sober for my family. But I would say, hey, I'm PO'd at you. You took my kid. And then about the third or fourth day, I got something back in my head that said, I didn't take your son. His free will and recklessness caused him to cross early, and I welcomed him home. You know, but I don't move people around like chess pieces. And he said, remember, I lost a son too. You know, so I knew then that this wasn't a vengeful God taking my son, but a God carrying me when I couldn't carry myself during that week.
Wow. And did that voice in your head lead you to start looking at psychics and mediums for answers?
Yeah. You know, about 15 years before, more on a kind of a quest or a journey or, I saw a medium, Nancy Myers, who actually just emailed today because I'm going to go to Sedona at the end of this month. And she's in Arizona now. And I had gone and seen her, and the reading itself was a little mundane, you know, kind of run of the mill. And I was kind of, you know, looking at my watch, and all of a sudden she said, and your dad's here, and he's telling you railroad. I got to understand, I had no desperation to find somebody on the other side. My dad died in normal times. You know, I had a lot of family over there, but it was, you know, it was okay. So I didn't feel this horrible loss. But we were a railroad family. My dad spent 40 years on the railroad. He was the local chairman of the union. He had the most seniority between Buffalo, New York, and Syracuse. All five of us boys worked on the railroad during college. My uncle is a railroad. My grandfather's a railroad. I'm looking at a Canadian Pacific Railroad lantern on my bookcase. You know, that was our identity. So when she said, your dad's holding a caboose and telling me railroad, it said, wow, this stuff's real. But I didn't need it. So I just kind of filed it under things and maybe touch base later on. And 16 years later, when Christopher went into the cold water and didn't come back, I needed to find out if there was another side. And I assumed there was because my dad was there. Was Christopher there, and how do I reach him? Or is this all hokey BS and scratch it off the list, right? So that started the journey. And believe me, right from Jump Street, the things that were presented to me, the things that came to me, the things that were given to me were beyond questioning. You know, it was, there is another side. My son is there. And we were able to build this bridge to get this book out and continue. You know, he's with me all the time. I feel him, and I know when he's here, and I know when he's not. You know, and that's it. That was the start of it.
So I know that there's a point where you stopped needing the mediums to speak to Christopher, and you just began to experience that yourself. And I'm so curious. How did that happen? Like, what happened?
Yeah,
was that like?
Great. That's a great question, Lisa. You really nailed that question. So, I don't stop with mediums. I think the really good mediums tell you you're not going to always need me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can do this. So, you know, a week ago, I had my wife had stumbled on a local medium. We did a phone reading, and it was amazing. You know, 2 weeks ago, a woman out of New York who's, just outstanding. You know, so I continue to, when the spirit moves, the opportunity is to do that. But what happened on the anniversary of his crossing, with January 3rd, 2017, I got up, went to my office in my house, which used to be his bedroom, and I was meditating, and I had I had sage going, I had the candles going, I had, you know, all of the tools that actually are conducive to clearing your mind and raising your energy level. And I got a message from him, and he started telling me what it's like over there. And here's the interesting thing, Lisa, because I was like, really? What? You know, and he was telling me how, you know, that it's warm, it's blue and green, and there's love in the air, but it's not air, it's love. You know, and he said, but you'll never get that till you're on the other side. You're not that smart. And, you know, he was busting my stones. But he said to me, he said, you got to forgive Scotty. You know, I loved him and he loved me. He was just being him. You got to let that go, Dad. Now, this is how I knew this wasn't from me. Scotty was the young man whose parents owned the lake house. And it wasn't their fault. It wasn't his fault. But I had to be mad at somebody, and I couldn't be mad at God. You know, he straightened me out there. So I was holding this resentment. And he said, you know, you got to let that go. And I said, you know, okay, sure, Chris, anything for you. And figuring, when am I going to see this kid again? 12 hours later, at his grave, on the first anniversary, there were about 40 kids showed up. You know, and there was Scotty crying. Mm-hmm. And we were able to embrace. I was able to hug him because Christopher prepared me for that. Remember, I'm Irish. We don't let go of grudges easily, you know, even when they're not legitimate.
I feel you. Me too. I'm from Boston. We're all Irish over here.
Boston strong. I gotcha.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. What an amazing story. And what has he told you about, like, what it's like? What have you learned, really?
A couple of things. It is amazing. And basically what he's told me, and mostly it's not me asking him questions. It's never really me asking him questions. I do that with mediums. But it's me dictating what he's telling me. He's just kind of giving me a conversation. And he'll say, look, Dad, it's beautiful. It's like a beach at night. It's all, there's a breeze, but it's always warm. It's lovely. He said, your side is boot camp. This is like a beach hut in Maui. Yeah. You know, you do what you want. He said, you know, I'm surfing now. He said, which would be dangerous for you because you're too old. You know, he's like I said, he was a smart ass on that side, and he still is, you know. And he said, you know, I'm the smartest guy in the room. There's no learning disabilities. He talks about family. You know, so basically what I've gleaned from this is that when you cross, what you choose to do is your heaven. His is very much beach music and Jimmy Buffett and longboarding and Stella beer and you know, music and that's his, you know, and golf, which he says is coming together over there.
That's me. You know, that's really consistent with all the dead people that I've talked to in my time, is that it's very much like what they expect or what they want or what, you know, is comforting to them, and it always has sort of those peaceful feelings, the loving feelings, but can kind of be what it is they want.
It's personalized.
To be.
Yeah, it's what your desire
is.
Yeah,
depending on what you like.
You know what? There's been a few things that have just let me know that, you know, he said to me, Dad, this is going to be easier for you. I'll be there the minute you cross over. He said, but the learning curve is going to be a lot smaller for you because of what I'm telling you. He said, I was surprised. You know, all of this was a shock. And I've been told by 5 mediums that my niece, Carrie, who he had babysat her kids when she died of an aneurysm until her husband could get home care. He stayed in Buffalo for 2 months and took care of 2 little boys, you know, because he told me, Dad, that's what family does. I mean, he schooled me when he was 19 years old about that. And so he said, you know, that Carrie greeted him and it was surprising. He said, Carrie, what are you doing here? He said, but Dad, you won't have that. When you step over, you'll already know because of what we've talked about. I will tell you that I've got a lot of life to do. I need this book to be big. I need parents to get this. I need people to heal. And that's what he kept pushing me to do, that specifically fathers who've lost kids need to know it's okay to grieve and to connect. You know, and so he and I've got a job to do here. I've got, you know, a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old and a fabulous wife who still doesn't know I've outpunted my coverage when I married her. You know, so I've got work to do here. But if God hit me on the shoulder and said, hey, sport, time to go, I lived a life beyond my wildest dreams, and I get to spend the next chapter with my son. I mean, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of nothing.
I've been that way, too, for most of my life, because I've talked to so many dead people and experienced that, you know, and what they say is so consistent and so, you know, that's makes it really real for me. Yeah. But I think I'm more afraid of not living a full life, you know, of
look what
living
you're
like
doing.
Not reaching my potential, not living a full
life.
Look
what you're doing. Look at the people you're helping. How can you say that? You know, sometimes we don't know the good we're doing.
Fear more than dying is not fully living. And you know, I think that's also what you're doing. You know, like you're really fully living in, and I think you're doing a tremendous service for the people who, you know, who's, there are an awful lot of people who've lost their children who just can't figure out how to get out, how to get through it. I don't think we ever get over it, but how to get through, they get very stuck, very lost in their grief and very stuck and they can't. And I think what you're doing is amazing. The people that I know that heal, you know, go allow it to open their heart, allow the spirit, their spiritual life to unfold in a particular way that might not have happened if they hadn't had that.
You know, I didn't anticipate writing a book. I didn't expect to write a book. I had no desire to write a book. I was keeping notes. I was keeping notes just so when I was old and sitting on a rocking chair, smoking on a cigar, that I could review them. That's why I thought I was keeping these notes. You know, but they're, you know, Lisa, they say in boxing that everybody has a plan until you get hit, you know? So that's what I thought I was keeping those notes for. You know, but Christopher knew that I was keeping those notes to help others, you know, and I'm given this gift where I can communicate with my boy, but I got to give it away to keep it, right? If I try to hoard this, it could be taken away from me. You know, it's a precious gift and I treat it very delicately.
Mm. Have you talked to a lot of other parents that have lost children?
You know what? I just did a thing with Helping Parents Heal online. I did a presentation, and that was so amazing. It was funny because, you know, it was on Zoom, so without an audience in front of you, you don't get a feedback. But I was hoping I was getting it across, and the responses were ridiculous. Like I'm really wide open. My email is J as in Joseph, B as in boy, my last name, MCQUILLEN@gmail.com. If anybody wants to know about something, what they you know. What a good direction. And I can only speak from my experience, but I'm wide open to help, you know, reach out.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's beautiful. I'm sure your book. So, you know, I love that you got the information and that's brought you on a spiritual journey. And I love that you are, you know, spreading the news so that that might be able to reach other people that are really stuck in their grief and can't like move through it. It's beautiful.
And that's the mission I think I'm supposed to do. And I'm supposed to continue on this path. You know, I still have to make a living and do what I do on the outside. You know, but my real passion at this point is this and the research for the second and talking to people. And looking at somebody's face when you're signing a book and telling them that they're still right here. Your daughter, your son are right here. And people have asked me, Lisa, you know, my mom's been gone for 5 years and I haven't heard from her. I said, well, try harder. What have you done to you know, encourage that? What have you done to open up the line of communication? You got to do your part. You got to start, you know. We're kind of spiritual slugs on this end, so we got to raise our energy so that they can do their best to come down a little bit and connect with us. But you can't sit on the couch and say nobody's connected with me. You know, you got to do your work.
What do you think works for that? Like, what do you recommend that people do?
I mean, I think, you know, once again, you know, I never did a whole lot of meditating, Lisa, until this happened. I think what I do, and I'll just go through my routine. It's kind of been validated from research after I wrote it down, is I'll come in here like I'm doing right now. I've got a Himalayan salt lamp. I was talking on the phone with the medium, and she said, oh, yeah, Christopher mentioned that Raul gave you a lamp. Raul was Christopher's roommate. He gave me this Himalayan salt lamp on the anniversary, which we have a celebration at the grave every year, celebrating his life. And it's middle of winter in outside of Chicago, Illinois, and a mile from the lake. It's freezing cold. We have 30 people there this year. And you know, so those are the validating things. But I have the lamp. I have a twin flame candle. I've got burning sage. I listen to, it's 3:00 in the morning when these messages come to me. I get out of bed and because he wakes me, he calls me. It's not me calling him. It's him calling me.
Yeah,
I meditate. I line my chakras. I listen to meditation music. I call it, breathe in 7 times. Breathe in, count to 7. I call out his name, and I meditate on a picture, and then we connect. Now, I'm sure there's more things that I will learn to do to dial in even more. I haven't. I'm not clear. I'm clairaudient. I'm not clairvoyant. But I really want to be. I really want to see him. So I'm going to keep trying to, I got to keep dialing up my act, right? I got to get my stuff better so that I can get more, right? Nobody starts out throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right.
It takes work. We all have the same arm, right? The same combination of muscles and tissue. But some guys work hard enough and have that natural ability. And that's what I want to do with this thing, you know?
That's exactly the same analogy I use. I teach psychic development classes. And because I started working as a psychic when I was 19, and I love to train people. And all the things that you, and that analogy you use is exactly the same one. It's like athletic ability, like, you know, or musical ability. Like everybody has something, but even if you have something, you still have to work it. You still have to train it. It's like a muscle you have to practice. And all of the things that you're doing, including 3 o'clock in the morning, which is like when our pineal gland is the most active. And that's sort of the part of our brain that's the most psychically connected. And it's the most switched on at 3 a.m. And so all those things you're doing are exactly the same things that I teach my psychic students.
And now I think I stumbled on it, but the truth of the matter is I'm sure my son led me to it, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, how would I get this right with have no knowledge?
And he gave me a lot of
down,
science.
I just
too,
wrote down pineal gland so that, that I could look that up.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up. Joe Dispenza does a lot. He, you know, if you look him up, he's fantastic, Joe Dispenza. And he's, he does all these meditations and he's the, you know, he's really talks a lot about the pineal gland and 3 a.m, you got it. Like that's cutting edge stuff. Whether if you don't even know, that's cutting edge stuff.
I didn't. And I really thought, this is funny, Lisa, I really thought it was because he drowned between 3 and 4. And then I'm talking to a medium and I said, look, it always happens at between 3 and 4. He said, well, yeah, that's the witching hour.
That's the witching hour, it's most active.
That's when spirits are active. I was like, oh, I didn't know that, you know.
And it's not only when they're, it is when they're active, but it's also when we're the most receptive.
And I love that because I didn't know that and I just learned something and wrote it down.
Yeah. So I know he sometimes gives you signs. Too.
All the time.
What happens? What happens there?
He sends me, I'll tell you, Christmas, right around Christmas time, I go to his grave all the time. And it's not like some old man sitting on a park bench feeding pigeons. You know, don't feel sorry for me. Believe me. I got to be his father for 21 years on this side. Right. And for eternity on the other side, I'll get his father. It's the greatest job in the world. So I really don't need anybody to feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for you. You didn't get the opportunity that I did to be his dad. Right. Mm-hmm. So I go to his grave all the time. I have a Buffalo Bills chair. I grew up in Buffalo. I have a Buffalo and I don't like the Patriots. I have a Buffalo Bills chair. I smoke a cigar and I talk to him. I meditate. I look out and I envision what it was like when he'd come back from out of town and I'd pick him up at the airport and walking through the glass security doors. And that's how I envision walking through with a crooked smile on his face and a duffel bag in his hand. You know, and it's I don't see it. It's not visual. It's me meditating on that. You know, and I have this great experience all the time at the grave. We connect. His spirit follows me there. He doesn't live there. I know that. But it just happens to be a great energy for the both of us. And we've been, Thomas John said, I tell every parent who goes to the grave, you don't need to do that. I'm telling you, keep it up. You know, that's where Christmas. So, you know, it was right around Christmas time. It was cold and snowy, and a song came on that I think he sent me. You know, it was a sad song about, you know, always going to be you, you know, and I was crying and listened to music, and I looked out the window, and right the Christmas tree right next to me in the circular plot, a big cardinal just flew there, turned around and looked at me and just sat there. And I was like, hey, you know, I knew that he sent me that and sent me the song. You know, he sends me feathers. You know, he sends me signs all the time. I talk to him. All, you know, if somebody's out there listening and they're not connecting, talk to them. You know, they want to connect with you.
Yeah, they can. They can really always hear us, especially if we talk out loud. I mean, they can hear us if we're talking in our head, but, you know, I always say pull out a picture and talk to the picture and they can
I do that. I go, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy, how are you, man? What's going on? You know, how are you? You know, I go, I miss you, pal. I can't tell you. I love what we got going, but I really miss you, you know, and we connect, you know. So I get signs all the time from him. It's usually cardinals and feathers. You know, we wrote a song, my buddy and I did some collaborating. It's called I'll Send You Feathers. And and he sent a poem to a medium, to Andrew Anderson. And it's called I'll Send You Feathers. And it's like, holy cow. You know, Andrew said to me, you know, hey, something weird happened. I pulled the car over. When a medium tells you something weird happened, pull the car over. You know what I mean? You don't need to be distracted when a medium's telling you something that he considers weird happened. And my son sent him a poem that he wanted for his dad, you know. And it was, you know. So I get this stuff all the time. It's almost like if you told normies or straight, they look at you like you're crazy, you know?
Normies, muggles.
No, right. So I had a woman ask me on an interview. She said, "What do you, you know, some people just don't buy it. You know, what do you, you know, and what do you tell them?" I said, "Tell them to change the radio station. Listen to sports radio. I'm not selling anything. You know, if this isn't for you, move on, man. It's okay."
Well, Joe, we're just about out of time, and I think we almost both made it through without crying too much.
Well, I had a few moments, Lisa. I wish I could say
too,
that I was
tear-free,
but this wasn't true.
I was. And I just want people to be able to find you. So how can they get your book, and how can they find
your
website?
Okay, I have a website, mysearchforchristopher.com or joemcquillan.com. The book is on Amazon. It's My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. It's on Kindle, it's in print, and it's in Audible. And the Audible is great, and I love Audibles. And my email is jbmcquillan@gmail.com. You got a question, you need to reach out to somebody, do it, man. I mean, there's nothing more important to me than staying connected with my kids, especially the one on the other side.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today. That was beautiful. And
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it.
I hope everyone gets your book. Everyone who needs it finds it.
I do too. And I'm glad we did this now instead of January 3rd.
We both had the flu. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, honey. And thank you so all of you guys for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio. We'll be right back.